By the America Radio Network News, I'm Corey Morris. President Bush has already wrapped up a meeting in New York today with German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, one of the most vocal opponents of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. After that meeting, though, President Bush still tried to sound optimistic.
The first thing I told him, I said, look, we've had differences, and they're over. And we're going to work together. And I believe when Germany and America work together, we can accomplish a lot of positive things. We're both committed to freedom. We're both committed to peace.
During their brief appearance after that private meeting, Schroeder agreed with the president's remarks. Meanwhile, with President Bush continuing his campaign to garner more international support for the after-action in Iraq in terms of troops and money, the leading Democratic presidential hopeful is criticizing the president's speech to the United Nations yesterday. Earlier on NBC's Today Show, retired General Wesley Clark accused Mr. Bush of, quote, tragic arrogance in his foreign policy.
I think he's really hurt us in this. I think this is a policy. This is a time that the President of the United States should have been a leader of the whole world. He should have brought people together on this policy.
The former NATO commander Clark announced his candidacy last week and has already jumped well into the lead in many opinion polls. A 24-year-old Air Force senior U.S. airman has now been charged with spying and aiding the enemy while working as an Arabic translator at the naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Department of Defense spokesperson Major Michael Shavers says Ahmad al-Halabi worked alongside hundreds of suspected al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners during several months stationed at the U.S. naval base there.
Airman al-Halabi was a translator working at Guantanamo. He underwent an Article 32 hearing, which is similar to a civilian grand jury. He was charged with 32 different counts. Those include espionage.
Shaver says al-Halabi was arrested July 23rd in Florida after arriving on a flight from Cuba. Defense officials allege al-Halabi was keeping classified information on a computer in violation of the military's strict security rules. Word of al-Halabi's charges come as the Pentagon continues investigating another possible case of espionage against Army Islamic chaplain James Yee.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
In a surprise move today, OPEC ministers have agreed to cut oil supplies as a way to keep crude prices high. The ministers decided to remove 900,000 barrels a day from supply limits for 10 members, excluding Iraq. The new output will be about 24.5 million barrels a day. A court hearing in San Francisco today will determine if a sexual discrimination lawsuit against Walmart will be certified as a class action suit. According to USA Today, that suit could end up covering more than 1.5 million current and former female employees of Walmart in complaints dating as far back as December 1998.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic has been charged with trying to murder two political opponents. Milosevic is already on trial at the UN War Crimes Tribunal and denies these latest charges. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
A special prosecutor in Belgrade has indicted Slobodan Milosevic with ordering the murder and attempted murder of two of his political opponents. The charges come after a lengthy investigation into the crimes, which took place 3 years ago. And they follow new evidence, which has come to light during the investigation into the assassination in March of the Serb Prime Minister Zoran Djindjic. Mr. Milosevic has been charged with ordering the death of Ivan Stambolic, a former president of Serbia. And along with key former allies, he faces charges of ordering the attempted murder of opposition leader Vuk Drašković. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And in another sign of the Pope's worsening health, the 83-year-old pontiff today canceled his weekly general audience. The Vatican insists he suffered only a minor intestinal problem. The Pope's top aide took over to address the pilgrims. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America, Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on day 226 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Excuse me, we've found the weapons of mass destruction. They're in the White House. The weapons of mass destruction. And day 738 in the search for Osama bin Laden, that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush. Did you notice he gave an entire speech at the United Nations just up the road from where the Twin Towers fell? And never once mentioned Osama bin Laden.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, no, not really. Welcome, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, on the Sirius satellite radio system, Stream 145, and also this program is carried live by a number of internet radio stations, radiopower.org, live365.com, and ieamericaradio.com, among others. And there are archives of the program at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that from our homepage, which you can find either by going to Liberal Talk Radio or tomhartman.com. LiberalTalkRadio.com, or Tom, they both point to the same place. And whichever is easier for you to remember. And also our chat room is alive and well. We've moved to a new form on CompuServe for the chat room. But it functions the exact same way. So it should be very easy to find. Just click the chat link off our homepage, and there you are, and there's already a wise and erudite and interesting, fascinating conversation going on there at this moment. I wanted to start out this morning. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world. What are the cons up to now in their attempts to turn American democracy over to a corporate aristocracy? And make no mistake, that is the conservative agenda. It's feudalism. It's neo-aristocracy, pure and simple, right at its core, and it has been ever since John Adams passed the Alien and Sedition Act in 1798. I mean, this is not new. It's just getting particularly virulent these days. And in our first hour, we're going to get into the question of, is America ready to return to our original ideals of patriotism, or are we going to be stuck with conservative jingoism for a while longer? One of the good things, I think, about the Democrats who are running in yesterday's Times Argus, which is the local newspaper in Montpelier, Vermont, the capital of the People's Republic of Vermont, where it's a beautiful sunny day, the sun is out, the trees are just beginning to start to turn. In the next week or so, yesterday I think was the first official day of fall. The next week or so, the trees are all going to be turning bright orange and red. And up north, up in the Northeast Kingdom, they already are. And they're starting to here. And our newspaper, the Montpelier Times-Argus, this being a somewhat liberal town in a somewhat liberal state, has on its front page yesterday, it's an afternoon paper at the moment, although they're going to the morning later this month, had on its front page one article about Wesley Clark talking about how important it was that in times of war we have lively dissent, echoing Teddy Roosevelt's statement that, in fact, I've got it right here. To announce that there must be, this is Teddy Roosevelt, May 17, 1918, to announce there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president right or wrong, keep in mind he said this in the final year of World War I, this was during World War I, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, it is morally treasonable to the American public. It is, however, the official policy of many of our news organizations, particularly faux news organizations, and also the implicit policy, well, pretty much the explicit policy, Ashcroft, Sain, and Rumsfeld, you know, you're just giving aid and comfort to the enemy by criticizing George Bush. Yeah, right. This is called democracy. Excuse me, the enemy sees us criticizing our leaders and they go, holy cow, you mean it's possible to live in a nation where you can speak your mind? We can't do that in my country. I'd like to have that. Don't these guys get it? If we were to demonstrate democracy around the world, if we were to just demonstrate democracy around the world, we might light a match that would ignite a bonfire of democracy. Maybe that's a bad metaphor. What would be? We would plant a seed that would start the kudzu of democracy. That would take over. Remember that song from the 60s? Those of you who are old enough to remember, you better watch out. You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago. That could be democracy. It'll just take over. In our second hour, will Republicans abandon George Bush in 2004? We're going to have a guest on from Conservatives Against Bush. And our third hour, is George Bush going to damage America as badly as he did Texas? And I have some startling information for you in that regard. But before we begin, I wanted to talk about something that seems off topic. NPR this morning was talking about kids and behavior and bipolar disorder and all this sort of thing. And this is a real serious problem. And I just, one little thing that I wanted to drop in. But before we do that, and before we just, you know, start getting into things here, I noticed that Armand in Florida is on the line. If you'd like to be on the program today, anytime during the show, anytime during our 3 hours, you're welcome to call. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And Armand, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are live and on the air.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I guess you already know you're alive, right?
As far as I can tell.
There you go.
Unless this is a bad dream, huh?
Well, parts. Sometimes, you know, you read the newspaper and you think, you know, when am I going to wake up? But yeah,
yeah.
What's up, Armand?
I was just on the internet and there's a story about from the Guardian of United Kingdom about the Bush crime family in Iraq are censoring the Arab media TV.
Yeah.
So
it was actually Chalabi and his gang of 25,
right.
the 25 administrators that we installed. Although this was also in the New York Times yesterday and the Wall Street Journal. I mean, you know, this story has been around. And they said that no more Al Jazeera and no more, what is it, Al Islama or something like that, the second Arabic news network. And they're banning them, but they said that the local council had decided to ban them for 2 weeks, as I recall, but that it was done with the approval of Paul Bremer, which lets you know where the power really is. Pardon my interrupting you, Armand, you were saying.
Well, you know, philosophically, doesn't freedom start with censorship?
Freedom ends with censorship. Yeah.
No, I know that. I'm just being cynical.
That's your point.
I'm saying, you know, they're sitting there saying liberated Iraq and all this. Well, it looks to me like they're going in and putting in their crime family members, and then the next thing they're doing is censoring all the media and opposition that's criticizing it. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
we have liberated Iraq. We have liberated those guys so well. They are so free that we are going to tell them what TV they can't watch. We're going to bring in Fox News and take out Al Jazeera. No problem. They're liberated now.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. You know, this bunch, you know, I wish somebody would write a book. Hillary wrote the book on, remember, It Takes a Village?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good authors out there. If they haven't already written one, I think a good title would be It Takes a Media. And for criminal enterprises to prevail, they absolutely need the complicity of the big media. Because without the complicity of the big media, they'll be exposed. And these organizations that call themselves media, these right-wing talk shows and some of these editors they have, they've been perpetrating a lie on the American public for so long based on half-truths, innuendos, and all kinds of little schemes that they've used to deceive the people. And, you know, you can't call this a free country, and we don't have a free country unless the free will of the inhabitants here prevails, even if it goes against the crime families and the Bush crime families, for a country to truly be free. If the group of people, if their will does not prevail, then they're not really free. And as long as it's reasonable will that prevails, like affordable health care, decent education, accountability in government, I don't have a problem with that. But I think philosophically, Tom, the reason we keep running against these lowlifes that are in power and they prevail, it says a lot about the integrity of the people, the lawmakers of our society. And the judges.
Well, Armand, let me interrupt you here. I agree with you in large part, and I think it's important that, number one, we be waking others up, and there is media out there. There is alternative media. The Internet is a good chunk of it. This program and this network is a good chunk of it, and we are picking up radio stations every week, where it seems we pick up a new station. I mean, this is growing. And it's growing because it's meeting a need. People are sick and tired of hearing one party rule stuff from the cons. I mean, they're essentially trying to recreate the Soviet Union. They're saying, you know, one party state. And now we've got, in fact, I was going to get into it a little later. I'll tell you about it right now. Wisconsin, they're talking. The Republicans are talking about doing a recall for the Democratic governor of Wisconsin. And they're already trying to recall a Democratic state senator. He's in the middle of a recall, and they're talking about recalling two others. It's like, you know, this is. We're watching the overthrow of democracy, and at the same time, you're watching the response. I would say we are still a free nation, but we are in danger, and we need to be taking this back. Your last point, Armin. I got two other calls, and time is running here. Yep.
Sounds it was like the neocons, wasn't it, too, that effectively removed the fairness doctrine in media when Reagan was in?
Yeah, 1986.
Yeah, and I was explaining this to a young man yesterday that has a decent heart that you know can't stand the thought of what happened on you know September or you know 9/11.
9/11, yeah.
And I says, you know, they're exploiting your emotions. I says, you need to get away from the regular media and get out on the internet and go to some of these IE America talk shows and stuff, and you need to expose your mind to other opinions and stuff before you form your opinion. And you need to study it and research it more and become more educated. And he's like, you're right. And I says, did you know about the fairness doctrine was taken out by the conservatives, so-called conservatives, if that's what you want to call them.
Armin, I got to stop you there. It's a good point, well said, and keep spreading the word. I'm right there with you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. Jeanette in Santa Fe, I was going to get to your call, but say that again, Steph. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've only got 5 seconds before the break here. So, Jeanette, we're going to pick up your call just on the other side of the break. And I did want to tell you about this behavior thing. You know, what's going on? One of the things that a lot of people don't know about that can help these kids. And then, of course, we've got this whole issue, this very large issue of, is America ready to return to our original ideals of patriotism, or are we stuck with conservative jingoism? Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
More united we stand, divided we fall. And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our quote for the day from John Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, or competitive values. We are not afraid. to entrust the American people with these things. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its own people. End quote. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We've got two callers on the line here, Jeanette in Santa Fe and Jerry in North Carolina. Let's take Jeanette first. Jeanette, what's up? Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. I want to have two comments, one about the children and one about the Gov.
Okay.
I hear you playing United We Stand, United We Fall. I would like to propose that the members of the shadow are from all committees, all liberal, conservative, you name it. And I would suggest that we take the word terror out of our vocabulary and put unite in, and know that there are Democrats and Republicans that voted for the war, that vote for the budget, that vote for everything.
Sure.
So that we, the people, need to unite in our own defense.
I agree, Jeanette, and that's why I when I'm talking about the specific agenda, which has to do with turning America back into a feudal state, wiping out the middle class, impoverishing the majority of people, and enriching a very small number of very, you know, very wealthy corporations and people, that I don't say Republican, even though that's mostly the Republican agenda, because there's lots of Democrats in that camp too. I say conservative. And my point I've made on this program many, many times is that 9/11 was not an act of war. It was a crime, and we had the entire world on our side, and we could have gone after those criminals and tracked them down as criminals.
You're right.
In fact, the Taliban had offered to hand bin Laden over to any one of 150 other nations other than us, and he would have been tried, and he probably would have been executed. But we said, no, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to control the country, and, you know, makes for a nice gas pipeline across the country there.
Look,
and
we have the radar to see exactly where bin Laden is, exactly where Saddam is. The Gov knows where these people are doing their friendly deeds for the government.
Yeah.
And I believe that the government is an equal time player in 9/11 and any other harmful deeds.
Well, I'm not willing to go that far, Jeanette.
Well,
anyhow, what was your second point?
Oh, the second point is that if people will read about indigo children and golden children, they will discover that there is a new, I'm a former educator, there is a new DNA. The children are so brilliant that they're dumbing them down with drugs. These are our future saviors, and there's any number of them that are genius. And
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree, Jeanette. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that with us. And in fact, I just wrote a book about this called The Edison Gene, which hit bookstores last week, suggesting that what we are calling attention deficit hyperactive disorder is actually the genetic condition that created civilization, and without which you wouldn't be listening to this program, because there wouldn't be any radios, because the microphone carbon microphone was invented by Thomas Edison, who was a poster boy for ADHD. Anyhow, what's really interesting, and I just wanted to share this really quickly with you, and Ron and Jerry and Ron will pick up your call right after the break, because I've got only about 20 seconds here. Study done at Purdue University found that boys with low levels of essential omega-3 fatty acids had a greater tendency to problems with behavior, learning, and mood swings. And one of the huge things that has been so useful is either flaxseed oil or fish oils for these kids. I just want to tell you about that. There's a fascinating studies that have been done. And instead of pumping them full of drugs. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more talk radio for the rest of us.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Hundreds of steel workers rallied in the nation's capital yesterday in support of tariffs on foreign steel. The duties of up to 30% were enacted by the Bush administration in early 2002 under pressure from both the U.S. steel industry and from the United Steelworkers of America. The White House is considering removing the tariffs later this year.
Our companies are closing and suffering because we're not getting any help from the federal government, and it's wrong.
Baron Chase is from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a town that's been rocked by the collapse of its steel industry under foreign competition. Although he's not a steel worker himself, many of his friends are, and he says he traveled to Washington to support them.
They lost their health care benefits, they lost their life insurance, and they're going to be losing some of their pensions. And I feel very sorry for them. I grew up with these guys, and I'm saddened by what's going on.
While union officials say the tariffs are working, the World Trade Organization ruled in July they're illegal under international trade rules. That decision is under appeal in Geneva, and a new ruling is expected in November.
For years, Harley-Davidson has worked hard to build an all-American brand image. That may be changing. Union workers at Harley's headquarters factory in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, say they've been given a 60-day ultimatum by the company. Find ways to cut the costs of transmission production or see the work outsourced. If it happens, it could mean the loss of hundreds of jobs. And it's day seven of a massive strike of hospital workers in Sri Lanka, and there's no signs of a resolution. Some 80,000 workers walked off the job over complaints about disparities in pay between workers of similar skills. The military's been called in to staff the country's hospitals, and soldiers now bathe and feed most patients. The Sri Lankan government's already hired 1,000 replacement workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yet the pill that will help you escape the matrix. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Speaking of pills, just I dropped that little bombshell about fatty acids, and I it does some explanation just very quickly here. And then Ron, I'm going to pick up your call here in just a second. Flaxseed oil and fish. See, it turns out the brain is mostly fat. The brain is this giant hunk of fat. I mean, it is mostly fat. And it requires fats, it turns out, to function. Evidence this from this study at Purdue University. Evidence is accumulating that a deficiency of omega-3 fatty acids is tied to behavior problems, learning, and health problems. And in the July 2002 issue of the British Journal of Psychiatry, they published a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial of the effect of vitamin fatty acid mineral supplementation on the behavior of 231 violent young adult prisoners at the Aylesbury Prison. Those receiving the supplements committed 25% fewer offenses than those getting the placebo during the 9 months of the study. They gave placebos, so, you know, everybody took a pill. Nobody knew what was in it. Even the people passing out the pills didn't know what was in it. And serious offenses were reduced by 37% among those taking the supplements. There is something here, and I can tell you, there's just a startling number of people that I know who have given fish oil supplements or flaxseed and omega-3. You can get vegetarian omega-3 fatty acids as well. Omega-3 or mixed omega fatty acid supplements to their children and seen dramatic improvements in behavior and memory. And adults who take this stuff who no longer have mood swings and who no longer are forgetful. The brain needs fats to function. And so anyhow, I just wanted to share that with you. This is from the Edison gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child, my new book. And I don't mean that as a shameless plug. There was a whole thing this morning on NPR, and this is what got me thinking about it, about childhood bipolar disorder, manic depression, and the behaviors that they were describing these kids. And what do? They hospitalize them and put them on antipsychotic medications. And I think that a lot of these kids are suffering from dietary deficiencies. Yes, there is a genetic component that's a genetic vulnerability to dietary deficiency. Anyhow, enough of that. Let's get back to politics. Is America ready to return to our original ideals of patriotism, or are we stuck with conservative jingoism? Ron in California, what do you think about that? Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I normally don't ever listen to AM radio, but I just happened to catch you on the radio in an old work truck the other day, and I'm glad to see there's finally something worth listening to on AM.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is talk radio for the rest of us is what we call it here.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is thanks for your show, and also I'm wondering what it takes to get this terrorist that's in the White House impeached.
Well, it would take proof that he committed a high crime or misdemeanor, and it would take...
That's pretty obvious. Look at Iraq.
Yeah. But the and is the kicker. And it would take a Congress that is willing to put forth articles of impeachment. Even simple investigations, like into who caused 9/11, have been blocked by the Republicans in Congress.
That's not
simple
surprising.
Investigations, you know. Pardon me?
Well, I was saying it's not surprising they're blocking it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Republican Party, it's so sad to see the Republican Party that in many times in the history of the United States, and I think Dwight Eisenhower perhaps represented the epitome of the morality and the virtue that once was represented in the idealism that was once carried by the Republican Party. But largely since Pat Robertson's failed attempt to take over the presidency and then his merging cynical operation into that of the Republican Party, we've seen this conservative takeover of the party to the point where it's actually, I think, harmful to democracy, the way that these Republican politicians are spinning this stuff. I mean, with these recall in California, the redistricting in Texas, the 2000 election, they're now in Wisconsin, they're talking about recalling the Democratic governor there. A bunch of Republicans are getting together to try and do this. It's really tragic, Ron. I think it's just tragic.
Yes, I agree.
So, final thought there?
I guess I'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. By the way, we're going to give away a book here. The first person to call with the correct answer to call 1-800-TALK-YES with the correct answer to this question. Hang on just a second here. I got to tell Stephanie what the correct answer is. We'll win a copy of Jim Hightower's book, Thieves in High Places. Now, here's the question. On February 24th in Cairo, Egypt, Colin Powell, you'll recall Colin Powell was way up in our military for a long, long time, part of the Clinton administration, not part of the administration, but worked for Bill Clinton in the military, participated in the Gulf War I. And Colin Powell, on February 24th of what year, said, and I quote, He, meaning Saddam Hussein, has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors. In other words, he doesn't, not only has no WMDs, he can't even attack one of his neighbors. Colin Powell, this is a verbatim quote, caught on video. He has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors. Did Colin Powell say that in 1991? At the end of the Gulf War, in 1993, in 1995, in 1997, or did he say that in 2001? First caller with the right answer to 1-800-TALK-YES wins a copy of Jim Hightower's book, Thieves in High Places. And if you would like, we will put you on the air and let you give the correct answer to all of our listeners. Is America ready to return to our original ideals of patriotism, or are we stuck with conservative jingoism? Here, this thing in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Republicans and their allies are threatening to throttle Democratic lawmakers, including Governor Jim Doyle, who took office just 9 months ago. Wisconsin is among 18 states that have a provision for recall of statewide elected officials. These guys have figured this out. The jingoism, by the way, continues unabated. For the contest, again, the years 1991, 1993, 1995, 1997, or 2001. Which year was it that Colin Powell said that that Saddam Hussein not only could not attack anybody with weapons of mass destruction because he didn't have any, but he couldn't even attack his own neighbors? Anyhow, Dick Cheney, Halliburton... We see Halliburton all over the place in Iraq. Halliburton lost money last year. They sure made money this year. They made over $200 million so far this year in profits. And Cheney on Meet the Press on the 13th of September said that he had severed all his relationships. He says, and I quote, "I've severed all my ties with the company, gotten rid of all my financial interests. I have no financial interest in Halliburton of any kind and haven't had now for over 3 years." Well, it turns out that Dick Cheney owns 433,333 Halliburton stock options, which have increased in value by 75% since October. And by the way, we have a winner in our contest. You can stop calling poor Stephanie, who's running the board there in Detroit, and doing a marvelous job. Mark in Richardson, Texas is our winner, and Mark didn't want to go on the air, but thank you, Mark. Here is the correct answer. Once again, the question, in what year, 1991 at the end of the Gulf War, 93, 95, 97, when we attacked Iraq again and bombed, or was that 98, or in 2001, after George Bush took office, did Colin Powell say the following in an interview in Cairo, Egypt? He said, quote, "He," meaning Saddam Hussein, "has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors." The correct answer is February 24th, 2001. Colin Powell told the world, as Secretary of State of the United States, as a member of the administration of George W. Bush, told the world that Saddam Hussein was not a threat to his neighbors, was not a threat to us, was not a threat to anybody, because we had taken him down. 2 months later, in fact, Condoleezza Rice is reported to have said, according to today's Paul Mulvey in London is reporting for the news.com.au, the Australian newspaper. Australian investigative journalist John Pilger says he has evidence the war against Iraq was based on a lie that could cost George W. Bush and Tony Blair their jobs and bring Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard, down with them. This was on television last night in England. You probably didn't see it here in the United States, particularly those of you who watch faux news. You probably didn't even hear any mention of it. But on television last night, they showed footage of Colin Powell as Secretary of the United of State of the United States saying Saddam Hussein. And then 2 months later, Rice reportedly said, quote, "We are able to keep his arms from him. His military forces have not been rebuilt," end quote. and thus confirming in the opinion of John Pilger, the Australian journalist, that the war in Iraq, if you want to call it a war, the invasion of Iraq, I just have a hard time calling this a war. I mean, I've got a book here that my father gave me, just a remarkable thing. It's by Rex Stout, the guy who invented Nero Wolfe, the Nero Wolfe character, called The Illustrious Dunderheads. This book that was published in the, let's see, what was the year of publication? I think it was like 1948 or 1950 or something like that. 1942 it was published. 1942. And this book is a collection, almost 200 pages, 189 pages, of speeches by Republicans attacking Roosevelt for wanting to go, for wanting to involve the United States in war in Europe. Republicans saying, no, we shouldn't go to war. Bad idea. Quoting Lindbergh, quoting Henry Ford, you know, we, you know, quack, quack, quack. Over and over and over again. But the Democrat, Roosevelt, rose to the occasion. And we saved Europe from Hitler, maybe saved the world, and certainly saved Asia from Hirohito. An important step. And that was a real war. But I have a hard time saying that the invasion of Iraq was a war. I mean, you go in and you bomb. I mean, we killed a couple hundred thousand of their soldiers in 91 in the Gulf War. I mean, we followed them back into Iraq along what they called the euphemistically the highway of death and just mowed them down. A couple hundred thousand young men running back home to their country, fleeing Iraq, fleeing Kuwait. Inside Iraq, we killed them. Before they could get back. That was the noble effort of George Bush the Elder. Wiped out the Iraqi army. We decimated his air force. We sent inspectors in for years. Scott Ritter and company went in for years and blew up all kinds of stuff. Until they were pretty sure there was nothing left. But there seemed to be a couple of places where there was something going on, and so they told Bill Clinton about it, and Clinton went in with cruise missiles and bombed those places, so there for sure was nothing left. Republicans say, well, Bill Clinton, he said that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, he did, and he took them out. So anyhow, you kill off a country's army. You know, it's 10 years later. You got, I mean, the kids who were in the army now were 10 years old in 91, 7 years old, whatever. You kill off their army, you demoralize them, you starve them for a decade with sanctions, you take out their air force, and, you know, it's like knocking somebody to the ground, breaking both their legs, having a doctor come over and check and make sure that they don't have, that they can't lift their arm to hit you, having a cop come over and check, make sure they don't have any, you know, a gun stuck in their belt, and then saying, I challenge you to war! Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Gary in Santa Fe has some thoughts on all this. Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. I just returned from a trip from Northern California to back home to Santa Fe, scanned through all kinds of radio stations. I'd like your listeners to know that we're the lucky ones that get to listen to this station. I searched and searched and searched to find talk radios. You know, I don't mind listening to conservative radio occasionally, but when I can't find a station like this and programming like what we're listening to here, and I get seven or eight different personalities on the conservative side, you know, we really need to hear how we can help promote this kind of programming to more people everywhere because it's not available. And
thank you, Gary.
Lot of money being spent to promote the conservative point of view that it just absolutely enrages me how they nitpick and are separating people with an attitude.
It was very disgusting. Some of the personalities I had to listen to across the country, and you know, it made me think. I hope this is appropriate. That you know, if Jesus Christ showed up on the planet today, who would be in his audience, and who would be finding fault in his message? And the bleeding hearts that are described on these conservative programs, they'd be there in the audience and listening carefully. And the conservatives that are supposedly the religious side would be finding fault.
They'd be picketing. They'd be picketing it, Gary. Gary, thanks for your thoughts. Music means we're up against the break. I appreciate your call. I'll give a comment to it right after this break. This is Tom Hartman, the Truth in Broadcasting program here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. because I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Uncommon sense from the radical middle, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Eddie Bud 1 says, Tom, just wanted to let you know that I sent an email to, and he names a local radio station, recommending you and IE to them. Thank you. That's how the show is propagating. I mean, so many stations have picked us up because local listeners have called the local program directors or station managers or have contacted local sponsors and said, hey, you know, would you like to sponsor progressive or liberal or middle of the road even talk radio? And if so, it's available because this program is offered free on a barter basis to radio stations all over the country. So it's happening in response to Gary, who had called in the conversation that's in the chat room. And thank you all. Is America ready to return to our original ideals of patriotism, or are we stuck with conservative jingoism? There is change in the wind, my friends. Wesley Clark today. I started this whole thing, started talking about back at the beginning of the hour about the Montpelier Times Argus and how the two main stories were, number one, Howard Dean, who was talking about how we must have dissent in America, and this administration is the most anti-democratic administration, in his opinion, in the history of the United States. I'd say the Bush administration is not quite as bad as John Adams, but other than that, terrible in regard to civil liberties in the United States. Wesley Clark also says, quote, we've got to have a new kind of patriotism that recognizes that in times of war or peace, democracy requires dialogue, disagreement, and the courage to speak out. And those who do it, that is, speaking out, should not be condemned, but be praised. Yeah, go get him, Wesley Clark. Now, for the record, I don't know yet what I think about this guy. I don't know enough about him to offer you an opinion. I am still, personally, of the opinion that any of the Democratic candidates, including Wesley Clark, and even including Joe Lieberman, and I cringe to say it, would probably get my vote over George W. Bush, just because George W. Bush is so toxic. I mean, people are dying. We're talking 20,000 people a year in the United States dying as a result of this clean air policy that Bush has put in place, allowing power plants to produce increased levels of emissions. And it's over the top for me. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. French President Jacques Chirac says France will not veto a United States resolution at the United Nations asking for more international assistance in Iraq. France, though, is still pressing for the UN to have a much larger say in post-war Iraq and for Iraqis to more quickly take over the leadership of their country. Ahmad Chalabi, the current president of the U.S.-elected Iraqi Governing Council, thinks his nation is almost ready to govern itself.
Our view is that Iraq is well capable of exercising sovereignty soon.
Meanwhile, President Bush had a private meeting today with one of the top critics of his administration's policy on Iraq. Afterwards, German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder pledged past differences have been put aside. The two leaders agreed they could work together in bringing stability to the country. Security is being overhauled now at the U.S. naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. That coming after a U.S. airman who worked there was charged with spying for Syria, among other criminal counts. Senior Airman Ahmad al-Halabi is a native of Syria and is charged with delivering classified data to his native country, including notes from prisoners and a map of the jail. Damascus, though, calls the alleged link, quote, baseless and illogical. The Pentagon is focusing on if the airmen could actually be connected to a wider plot after an Army chaplain stationed at the base was also picked up on suspicion of espionage. The chairman of the BBC has been cross-examined now at the continuing Hutton inquiry into the death of Dr. David Kelly. Today marks the last day of oral evidence presented to those hearings. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Gavin Davis was asked about the BBC management's handling of the Iraqi weapons dossier row, and he insisted the corporation's governors would not have backed the senior officials just for the sake of it. The inquiry is also hearing from Dr. Kelly's line manager at the Ministry of Defence in relation to how the weapons expert was handled after he came forward following the BBC report. It's the last day of 22 days of oral evidence to the inquiry. Thursday we'll see closing statements by counsel and the inquiry chief Lord Hutton before he begins the task of sifting through the evidence. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside I may look like, but on the inside I'm all, because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The national Do Not Call list intended to prevent unwanted telemarketing calls has been blocked by a district court in Oklahoma. The Direct Marketing Association says the court ruled the government overstepped its authority when it set up the measure. About 50 million phone numbers have been put on the list, which was due to take effect next month. Millions of Microsoft message board users in 28 countries will soon find they're unable to access their internet chat rooms. MSN European Director Jeff Sutton says the changes are due to child safety concerns. Microsoft chat room services will be eliminated beginning October 14th in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, and much of Asia and Latin America.
Welcome to Baguette Country.
Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A diplomatic envoy from Indonesia has left Burma now without any time frame on when opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi might be released from detention. More from correspondent Celia Hatton.
There is still no end in sight to Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi's detention by military forces in Burma, despite a 4-day visit to the country's capital by Indonesian diplomat Ali Alatas. The former Indonesian foreign minister was apparently told that Ms. Suu Kyi's imprisonment was temporary, but was not given a definite date for her release. Ms. Suu Kyi has been held by Burma's military regime for more than 3 months after some of her supporters clashed with government forces in May. Aung San Suu Kyi is the leader of the National League for Democracy, which won a landslide election in 1990, but was prevented from taking power by Burma's oppressive military regime. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And IBM's under the judicial microscope now. A group of former employees at its San Jose, California plant have filed suit, alleging chemicals used in making microelectronics are responsible for high cancer deaths among workers. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com and keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, also streaming from the depths of outer space, a Sirius satellite radio system. Pardon me, I couldn't resist. New toys. And also streaming live on the internet on several different internet radio stations, radiopower.org, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, which with archives of the program, a 3-week archive of the program available at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that by linking off tomhartman.com, our main website. Will Republicans abandon George Bush in 2004? Keep in mind, Ronald Reagan, at this point, in the third year of his presidency, was at 40% in the polls. George Bush is at 50% in the polls. The difference is going to be the Republican base. And here we have, in the news here, this article by Bob Cusack, Bush will push tax cuts again for the next GOP. This is from The Hill, which is kind of an insider publication in Washington, D.C., but everybody, every member of Congress reads this thing. I mean, The Hill is read religiously. Republican strategists say they expect President George Bush to propose a new round of tax cuts next year, despite growing concerns about the cost of rebuilding Iraq and the deficit. Bush this summer called on Congress to make the enacted tax cuts permanent,
which in effect is another tax cut, by the way, in and of itself. It adds another trillion or so to the deficit. A GOP pollster Frank Luntz believes Bush will propose new tax cuts. Quote, "We're Republicans. It's what we do. It's in our blood. It's in our soul," he said. Grover Norquist says, "As long as there's a tax cut every year, I don't care if I don't get everything I want. I know I can come back next year." The evisceration of America, fiscal irresponsibility on a scale not seen since Ronald Reagan was president. What is this going to mean for the conservative movement? We have Daniel J. Craig, who is the founder and editor of Conservatives Against Bush, a popular website, on the program with us today. Daniel, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Hey, Daniel, is that conservativesagainstbush.org or .com?
It's both, actually. I got all three domains.
No, okay, great. So however people say it, www.conservativesagainstbush will get it. First of all, why conservatives against Bush?
Well, I started this 2 months ago, basically after the Iraq War, which I had opposed, and President Bush was beginning to start with his Medicaid expansion of the welfare state. And I looked around and I saw a big government, spending was out of control. We had an Iraq War that didn't make us any safer. And I asked myself, why am I supporting this guy?
Well, why were you?
That's the thing. I didn't have an answer. I couldn't go up to that. I decided to start this website to try and convince other conservatives that we need to press for a change in this administration because this isn't what we voted for.
Well, how exactly is it that you think that George Bush has betrayed conservatives?
The Iraq War was a radical thing. He bought into the neocon agenda about this grand scheme that we could democratize the Middle East by sweeping in to Iraq, and it's a radical idea. And he justified it with the weapons of mass destruction thing, with some intel that the neocons cooked up in the Defense Department and couldn't get the CIA or the Defense Intelligence Agency to sign on to. But even Paul Wolfowitz, the leading neocon in the administration, said that the weapons of mass destruction was just a bureaucratic reason. This is hardly sober conservative thought. This is Wilsonianism taking to an extreme.
Yeah. So Daniel Craig, how do you account for the fact that most conservatives say that they think that George Bush did the right thing? Most people who call themselves conservatives in polls.
I'm afraid there's no alternative right now to him. But I think the opinion is starting to change now that they see that the trouble that we've got ourselves into. Mired in a low intensity conflict in Iraq, it's not good. There is barely any historical analogy that show when a first world power can win in a situation like this. Besides the British in Malaya when they were fighting a small communist insurgency that was foreign, and the Bush administration isn't articulating any strategy to combat this low intensity conflict. He says bring it on. So we're stuck with a no-win situation right now, and I think it'll become more clear as time presses on, and unfortunately it's going to result in more American casualties.
Yeah. Now, as a conservative, I assume that there are some other issues where you may take issue with George Bush. For example, civil liberties. We have John Ashcroft. In fact, this was just in today's news. I got this email here from Alan in... I think it must have been Santa Fe. He says, this morning on our local public radio station, KUNM, during the local news section, they covered a story about some SUVs that had been vandalized at a Santa Fe car dealership. Land Rovers apparently were set on fire or vandalized or painted or something. The announcer, he says, I think his name was Tom Trowbridge, noted that the FBI in Albuquerque is investigating the crime as domestic terrorism. And, of course, if you're familiar with the provisions of the Patriot Act, you know what that means in terms of what law enforcement can do that would have been a crime just a year ago or 2 years ago. Do you see this as an issue for conservatives?
Definitely, definitely. Liberty, I think, should be the paramount value conservatives. I think that's kind of changing under the Bush administration. But I'm definitely worried about John Ashcroft. He's an authoritarian. He's intolerant. And they're using the Patriot Act for non-terrorism-related things, but they're also using other laws to try and cut down on dissent. The Economist ran a story on a protester who was protesting at an airport in South Carolina where Bush was coming through, and they arrested him for trespassing. And when that didn't hold up in court, they got him on a law that said that the Secret Service can restrict access to wherever the president is traveling, and said he should have been in a designated free speech zone miles away while the Bush supporters were allowed to come right up to the president.
Yeah, his name is Brett Bercy. We had him on this program a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Amazing situation. In fact, the ACLU filed a lawsuit yesterday about that. A little later on in the show, we're going to give them our We Caught You Doing Something Right award for that. But, you know, people are starting to wake up, not just conservatives. I think anybody who, you know, don't you think, Daniel, Daniel Craig, that, am I pronouncing Craig right, by the way?
Yes, that's right.
C-R-A-G-G. Don't you think that this transcends Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, that liberals are as concerned about liberty as conservatives are. Liberals are as concerned about our young men and women dying in a war that didn't need to take place, that has only enriched a few crony corporations associated with this administration, as conservatives are. I mean, why are these uniquely conservative issues in your mind?
To this extreme, that they're not uniquely conservative issues. They're definitely American issues, and liberals are mostly on the page on social freedom, but they're not quite on the page on fiscal freedom. And that's where I disagree with it. But the thing about John Ashcroft, this is a universal American value that is in danger.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about fiscal freedom for a minute, then, if you don't mind. How do you define fiscal freedom?
I'm a small L libertarian type conservative, I guess you could say, and I want less taxes and less government, and I'd like to see a reduction in the deficit. I'd like to see some fiscal responsibility, but under Bush, spending is out of control. It's worse than Clinton.
Mm-hmm. George Bush has increased the size of his government larger and faster than any president in the history of the United States.
Right.
And I can see where you might oppose to that. I'm curious if. Well, first of all, do you agree with this proposition? If we don't have a balanced budget, then what we are doing is not, and we reduce taxes, is that what we're doing is we're really not reducing taxes, we're deferring taxes, because eventually they're going to have to be paid.
Right.
Whatever we spend, we're going to have to pay for. You with me on that?
I'm with you on that.
Okay, so Bush has not enacted any tax cuts at all. All he has done is enact tax deferrals, shifting to the tax burden for today's spending onto us. Next year, actually, we're going to start paying the interest. In fact, right now we're paying the interest on these loans and mm-hmm. to our children and our grandchildren. We're together on that?
Yes.
Okay, so if we had a situation where we had actually a balanced budget and we had paid off the debt, which we haven't had since... I mean, the last two balanced budgets were under Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, and the last time we had no debt was, you know, the debt was relatively insignificant, I think, toward the end of the Kennedy administration, but I may be wrong. I'd have to go back and look on that. But basically, we've been carrying a debt since World War II, but not a substantial one until Ronald Reagan. I mean, it never tripped through $1 trillion until Reagan came along.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming that we had a situation where we had no debt and where we were at balanced budget, what of the government services that are being offered right now do you think that we should do away with? Should we do away with public education?
I'm not going to go to that extreme, but I'd say I'd like to get to do away with most federal entitlements. That's a huge portion of our budget. I'm not an extreme libertarian saying I want the elimination of all entitlements tomorrow, you know. I take a more moderate position where I'd like to see less spending and less entitlements.
Sure. So by entitlements, I assume, first of all, I'm assuming that you're a smart guy and you realize that if you define welfare as cash grants given to people because they have convinced you that they need that money for some reason or because you want to advance some particular agenda that mm-hmm. would benefit the country in the theory of the person giving the cash away. Is that a reasonable definition?
Sure.
Between 2-to-1 and 3-to-1, corporations receive more welfare than human beings in the United States. You realize that, of course.
Yes.
Okay. And you're in favor of doing away with corporate welfare as well as human welfare, right?
Yes.
Okay. How then do we deal with poor people? How do we deal with poverty?
I think you do it through giving tax breaks to charities,
But charities don't pay taxes to begin with.
Right.
Nonprofit corporations are tax exempt.
Sure. Maybe give.
They don't even pay. They don't even pay property taxes, and they get to use public utilities that you and I pay for. They're protected by the police. They're protected by the fire departments. They use public streets. We pay for all this stuff. They don't have to pay for any of it. So we're already giving them huge tax breaks.
Sure. But we can encourage in other ways, giving other incentives to corporations. I think that through the tax system. But
wait a second, Daniel Craig, founder of Conservatives Against Bush.
Yes.
If we give a for-profit corporation by law is required. Mm-hmm. In fact, an executive of a for-profit corporation who fails to further the profit of a for-profit corporation can go to jail if they don't make decisions that are going to help that corporation. A for-profit corporation is only chartered to create profit. How can we have them being in the welfare business, in the business of helping people? Actually, Daniel, we have a break coming up right here. I'm really trying to do a serious conversation here with you. I'm not trying to pin you in or nail you down or anything. I think that this is a discussion that conservatives and liberals need to have.
Mm-hmm.
If you can hang with us through this break, we'll be right back.
Sure.
We're talking with Daniel J. Craig, founder of Conservatives Against Bush, www.conservativesagainstbush.com or .org. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Big Brother is no longer a paranoid nightmare. He's alive and living deep inside the Pentagon. Specifically, Big Brother is operating under the pseudonym of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It has unleashed a bunch of Dr. Strangeloves to throw our tax dollars at any number of technological schemes to spy on us and destroy our constitutional right to privacy. DARPA is the agency that has given us the Total Information Awareness Program to ransack any and all databases and compile secret dossiers on each of our lives. It is also the creator of PAL, the cognitive computer system with sensors that let its wearers secretly record our words and movements. And now it is bringing CTS into our private worlds. CTS, Combat Zones That See, is an urban surveillance system that uses thousands of cameras linked to a central computer to track, record, and analyze the movements of every vehicle in a city. Its software can identify your cars by size, color, shape, license plate, and even by your face. It lets authorities, either governmental or corporate, keep an unblinking eye over everyone's movements in entire cities. CTS says its goal is to, quote, track everything that moves. storing and categorizing this phenomenal amount of data so that it is instantly retrievable. Act suspicious, and CTS flashes an alert to authorities, complete with your profile. Oh, don't worry, says DARPA, for CTS is only for foreign surveillance. But that's news to the corporate contractors developing CTS. Quote, the whole theme here is homeland security, says one bluntly. Once the technology is developed, there'll soon be versions for sale to everyone from shopping centers to private detectives. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight CTS, call the Federation of American Scientists, 202-546-3300.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. We're talking with Daniel J. Craig, founder and editor of Conservatives Against Bush, the website www.conservativesagainstbush.com or .org. And Daniel, we've got a whole bunch of folks in our chat room. We run a live chat room when we do the program, and several of them have said, interesting website. Great. You know, you're getting some compliments there. You have some fans already.
Good.
And we were talking about poverty. How do we solve the problem of poverty in the United States? What might be the solutions? And you were suggesting, go ahead, Daniel.
Right. I don't think it's necessarily the federal government's role to solve poverty in the country. I'd like to see more local government involvement in that. And as I said, I'm not for eliminating all entitlements tomorrow. I just like to see less government spending, less entitlements. But, you know, I'm not for eliminating all the social safety nets we have, because I do think there's a genuine public interest in that, because if you don't, you have, if you have a huge unemployment, a lot of poverty, homelessness, you're going to have riots and problems like that.
Well, it gets even worse than that. I've worked and lived in third world countries where you walk out your front door and boom, there's 20 kids standing there with their hand out, you know, with the flies in their eyes and gunk in their hair. I mean, but the problem with local, I agree, the ideal situation would be for local communities to deal with their own poverty problems. And here in Vermont, for example, where I'm broadcasting from, that's largely the case. Here in Montpelier, in the town that I live in, we have a homeless person. And in the winter, this guy sleeps out behind the fire department, the fire station. Mm-hmm. They've got this little thing, and the diner down in the corner feeds him for free. And I mean, you see him around town. Everybody knows he's our homeless guy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's been, at least he was last winter. I haven't seen him in the last couple months. He probably goes someplace for the summer. I don't know, but in any case, at the local level, it works in a small community where everybody knows everybody. But in a city like New York or Los Angeles, increasingly America is becoming urbanized. And in a large city, it's very easy for people to say, well, that's not my problem. And like Rudy Giuliani did, just come in with the police and say, you're out of here. And what happens then is that those poor people end up leaving Manhattan, but then they show up in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And so simply saying local communities can deal with the problem, it sounds good, but the problem is that most local communities are not willing to invest the time, effort, money, whatever, in dealing with that problem. And so you just end up with this round robin, with this enclaving of America. And I think that that's what Lyndon Johnson was looking at, was this situation where there were literally people starving to death in the United States of America. Hard to believe. Robert Kennedy went out and took a TV camera, crew along with him and documented it in 1966, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And, down in the Deep South. And, there's some real problems here. And the local folks are not going to deal with them. Now, historically, the way that poverty has been dealt with is with armies. Historically, what there's two ways historically that poverty was dealt with. People say, why didn't the founding fathers, they said welfare in the Declaration of Independence and in the preamble of the Constitution. Why didn't they make welfare payments?
Well, two reasons. One, local communities did care for people. And secondly, there was an unlimited amount of land that we could take from the Indians. And so if somebody was poor, they could just move west, 5 miles, stake out some land, and boom, instant farm. And it wasn't until we ran out of land that we could take from the Native Americans which roughly was the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, that we reached a situation in the United States where we couldn't, what the British did when they ran out of land is they started exporting poor people. They criminalized it, and they sent them to Australia, and they sent them to North America. The state of Georgia was a penal colony. 3 out of 7 people in New Hampshire and in Vermont at the time of the American Revolution were indentured servants. These were not people of color. We're talking, from Europe. So they export. Daniel, we'll get back to this right after this break. Hang on. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on IE.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The famous beaches of Southern California could disappear if sea levels continue to rise. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Experts say the beaches along the California coastline date back about 4,000 years, but they might not last more than another century or two. A report from a state agency says the beaches are eroding, and scientists say what's left might disappear underwater because of rising sea levels. Doug Inman directs a coastal studies project at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in San Diego. He and his colleagues are working on computer models to portray different scenarios for the future of California's coastline. Inman describes the West Coast as a collision coast. It's a long, rumpled mountain range that was formed by the collision of two sections of the Earth's crust. Inman says waves started to cut into these cliffs 6,000 years ago after sea levels became relatively stable. The waves cut a rocky platform that created the foundation for the beaches of Southern California. But Inman says if the sea levels go up, the beaches will go under.
Once the sea level starts rising again, particularly if it starts rising rapidly, then what you have is a sea level rise against the cliff, and it doesn't have a chance to cut a deep platform further into the cliff. And until it can, the beaches will disappear.
Inman says the tides are now higher along the coast of Southern California, and that might indicate a faster sea level rise in that area. The computer model he's working on will be used to depict average wave conditions years into the future. He hopes it will help people see more clearly what happens when sea levels rise, and that people will use it to consider options for the long-term stability of California's coastal environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, live coast to coast. We're talking with Daniel J. Craig, founder of the popular website conservativesagainstbush.com or .org. You can find it easily on the internet. Daniel, what to just wrap this up? I don't want to beat this one to death here. I'd like to get back. I know you too would like to get back to Iraq and to George Bush, but I'm curious about what you know in your mind is an alternative to George Bush. If you don't want Bush and you're a conservative, what would be better? And you'd said you wanted somebody who would not increase entitlement programs to humans and corporations. And we are in agreement on the corporations part. I'm curious. And the point I made before the break is that historically governments dealt with poverty either by creating armies and having continuous low-level warfare with nearby states, as Europe did for about 1,000 years, or by exporting their poor, as England did throughout the 18th and 19th century, exporting them to North America. The vast majority of people who came to the United States in the 1600s and 1700s were not people looking for religious freedom and liberty. They were people escaping poverty in Europe. And the vast majority of them were forced to come here. They didn't come here of their own choice. You go back and actually read American history, contrary to the popular mythology. And so they exported their poverty, the army was the employer of last resort. The government was the employer of last resort. And FDR came along and he said, you know, this thing of the government being the employer of last resort is all well and good, but what it does is if you have big armies, eventually you have to use them. It just makes more and more warfare. He said, why don't we say, okay, the government will be the employer of last resort, but instead of building an army that can produce nothing productive, you know, when bullets are fired, it doesn't mean that the gardens grow. Let's have this army of people instead build roads, which will then have, you know, I mean, we're still riding on roads that FDR built in the 30s. Let's have this army of people who are the government, you know, the unemployed, the government being the employer of last resort. Let's have this army of people, instead of shooting bullets at people, let's have them build infrastructure, you know, put in electrical systems. The REA, the Rural Electrification Administration. Let's have them build bridges. Let's have them revive our forests and things. See, now this is even way beyond what we have right now in terms of the welfare state, and I think it was a good idea, frankly. I'm curious, what are the programs that we have in place right now for people in poverty that you think should be eliminated?
I would say federal welfare, the Medicare, the Medicaid things, and we should start privatizing Social Security.
Okay, so we eliminate Medicare and Medicaid. So what happens when somebody gets sick?
But not for people who are already on it. But we should give fair warning down the line that it won't be there in the future.
Okay, so we take it away, and the future has come. It's now a few years down the road, and you've lost your job, and you can't find a job locally, or the only job you can find is at Walmart or flipping burgers at McDonald's, and you can't earn enough. I pay $700 a month right now for health insurance for my wife and I and one of our kids. And you can't afford that $700 a month for health insurance, and you get sick. And on the front page of today's Wall Street Journal, or yesterday's Wall Street Journal, you'll see a whole article about how hospitals now are legally turning away poor people. They're simply refusing to serve them. They are rationing health care. So we now have this brave new world you're talking about. What should those people do? Just die?
No, but I think you're kind of exaggerating. If you are in dire need of medical help, there isn't a hospital that will turn you away. Hospitals...
Not true.
And the businesses that run those hospitals, they take that in head. That's part of it.
Not true, Daniel. Read yesterday's Wall Street Journal. Front page story.
Are we talking about emergency room care?
That's right.
Well, I mean, I haven't read the story, but my father's a doctor, and he works in...
We're talking about people being refused drugs that will save their lives because the hospital has already spent its $25,000 a month budget for taking care of the poor. And they're saying, nope, you can't have that drug. Yes, it may save your life. No, you may not have hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Yes, it may stop the infection that's going to lose your leg. Sorry. You're poor.
Yeah, well, I think that's an extreme case.
But, it's not an extreme case. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is becoming the norm across America. It's exactly what you're suggesting. Is this really the country you want to live in?
Incentives could be given to these businesses through taxes, things like that, for them to do this. But
But a lot of these corporations, I mean, Bill Frist's corporations in many cases are not paying taxes to begin with because they just, you know, they fiddle with the books. You know how to make a corporation not pay taxes. If you've ever been in business, I'm assuming you have. I have, certainly. I've run corporations for 30 years, and very rarely do my corporations make a profit. It doesn't mean that I haven't done well. You just, you know, at the end of the year, you spend your money. So what good are tax incentives?
If they're not paying tax
incentives,
are also
another form of welfare. So you're saying instead of giving the money to the poor people, you should give the money to the corporations?
If you're enticing them to do something for the poor people, I see something that's good there. Rather than giving the money.
Isn't that what Medicaid does right now? If a poor person is served, Medicaid pays the bill.
Yeah.
So why are you opposed to it?
The wealth transfer schemes where we take money from other people and give it to others, I'm generally opposed to. But it's a liberty issue for me. If you can make the money, you should be able to keep most of it.
Daniel, don't you think that liberty and that there is a certain responsibility associated with living in a civil society?
Yes. And I'm saying that people should be given they have a right to emergency care and everything, but when we're talking about the big procedures, that is not a right. When we're talking about life-saving procedures, yes, they should be given those drugs. They should be treated.
Okay, so you're saying if somebody gets in a car accident and they need immediate help, they should get it. But if somebody gets cancer, they should just go die. Because cancer you don't show up in the ER for.
Right, well, in an extreme case like that, that's not the responsibility.
It's not extreme. One-third of Americans are going to get cancer in their lifetime, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. That's not the responsibility of the government.
Why not?
Because the government, I like limited government. The government doesn't give you the right to an expensive care that somebody else provides.
Why not?
That's true. I mean, that's a right is a claim against the government, and that's not been written down anywhere. That's not a fundamental right.
You've not read the preamble to the Constitution of the United States?
Yes, but the right to have the claim against you, not that the government won't take away your life, but we're not saying that the government has to provide for your medical care. That's
actually, continue what you were saying. I'm sorry, I started to interrupt you there.
You do not have the Constitution doesn't give you a right to medical care provided by somebody else at somebody else's expense.
The Constitution does, however, say that the reason our country was created was to put in place certain principles, and that among those principles are the promoting the general welfare of we the people. That's one of the seven principles established in the preamble of the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence. And so we the people, we collectively, as a civil society, say, you know, together, there's a certain kind of world that we'd like to live in. We would like to have streets that are actually paved.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to have police who show up when people get harmed. We would like to have fire departments that show up when our houses catch on fire. We would the commons, what we call the commons. We would like to know that there is a transportation infrastructure, that there's a communications infrastructure. Why? And historically, if you look back, you know, in the 1700s, medical care was relatively inexpensive and accessible to everybody. It wasn't until it became this corporate thing in the 1960s and 1970s. In my lifetime, when I was your age, I'm assuming, you know, it says you're a student here. I'm assuming you're younger than I am anyway. I'm 52. That it was illegal for hospitals to run on a for-profit basis. They had to be not-for-profit. All health care in the United States was provided by not-for-profit. Blue Cross and Blue Shield was a not-for-profit corporation. And so they weren't skimming profits off the top to give to stockholders. They couldn't do that. It was a felony. It was a crime. And as a result, from the 1930s through the 1960s and into the early 1970s, really until Reagan got a hold of it, you had health care costs that were just going up at the rate of inflation. And then we privatized this thing. We said, okay, corporations, you guys can do whatever you want with it. And they said, great, we're going to make it as expensive as we can.
Well, let me tell you,
how is that a good thing for us?
Profit has created an incredible medical infrastructure, and it's given the incentive to innovate, to do some amazing things. Because America still has a capitalist medical system, not a socialized or nationalized system. We are the leading innovators in medicine. And, you know, there aren't any innovations coming out of Canada. There aren't any coming out of...
That's not true. That's not true.
Well, okay. I think...
There are tremendous innovations coming out all over the world. And many of the innovations, a lot of the innovations that you're talking about, I mean, for example, the proton pump inhibitors. You said your father's a doctor. I'm sure you're familiar with these new drugs that suppress the production of acid in the stomach. So they come out with a proton pump inhibitor. Gee, great new thing. As soon as the patent expires, they come out with a small variation on it. New great new thing. As soon as that patent expires, a new great new... It's like... Yes, we have more innovations, but they're not innovations that are necessarily improving the quality of medical care. We don't have the best medical care in the world. We don't have the lowest infant mortality in the world. We don't have the greatest lifespan in the world in this country.
People who are sick in Canada are coming to the United States because they don't like the rationing of care that they've had to employ there.
Not true. That's one of the great conservative lies, Daniel. I'm telling you, go to Canada and talk to Canadians. I live 200 miles from the Canadian border, and here in Vermont, every month, the government of the state of Vermont organizes busloads of elderly people to go to Canada to buy their drugs. 200-300 people at a whack. Yes, you may find four or five people in Canada who have come to the United States and said, well, we'd rather, you know, people of great wealth, who come down here, and every now and then they show up on Fox News. Yes, I didn't like that socialized medicine thing. You know, people die waiting to get an operation. Sorry, it's not the way it is.
Somebody's picking up the cost of those drugs in Canada, and the medical system there is subsidized, so the Canadian taxpayer is picking up some of the extra costs on those drugs.
No, the corporations are making less money, Daniel. The most profitable industry in the United States is pharmaceuticals.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is a capitalism versus socialism debate, and I think that capitalism has been proven more effective. This is why we're the most powerful.
More effective at what?
At driving progress, innovation, and
poverty.
Poverty is an outcome of that, but that's why we have our minimum social safety net.
Well, then you're a socialist.
No, I'm for a minimum. Social safety, some welfare, but not an expansive welfare state.
Okay, I've picked on you enough, Daniel. I'm sorry. It's a fascinating conversation actually, and I would like to pursue it a little farther with you, but I know that really what you wanted to talk about in the program was George W. Bush, and you found it as conservative against Bush, which I applaud. I am still a fan, by the way. I want to tell you, I'm still a fan of Dwight Eisenhower, and I still think Barry Goldwater had a lot of good things to say, and I think that there are many good things in the conservative worldview and that I respect. I think there are some that are frankly wacko, but there's a lot of, you know, within conservatism that I respect. And so let's just, in a nutshell here, conservatives against Bush, the main points, why you think that George Bush should be replaced, and who would you suggest he be replaced with?
You know, right now I'm kind of stuck, but I'm looking at the Democrats. I'm hoping that a moderate emerged. I don't know what Wesley Clark has said on the record yet. He hasn't said a whole lot, but I'm hoping that he comes out as the moderate candidate that could possibly beat George Bush, because I can't vote for George Bush at this point. He's delivered on nothing that I want. I mean, increased spending, the war in Iraq. It's
incredible. Yeah.
Incredible.
Daniel, I just noticed, I'm sorry, I was so into this conversation with you that I wasn't paying attention to the screen in front of my face, and I've got five callers here. Ryan in New Hampshire, Jim in Richmond, Virginia, Mark in Dallas, Enrique in Santa Fe. I'm sorry, say that again, Steph. Okay, we got Mark in Dallas and Enrique in Santa Fe. I'm going to bring Mark on real quickly. We've only got about 2 minutes, and I know you've got to go at 10, too. So, Mark, your question for Daniel Craig, founder of Conservatives Against Bush.
Well, there's not enough time for me to answer, but just let me say this, Tom. First off, people say that capitalism works well in the United States, and that's one of the reasons for prosperity. I've been unemployed for 38 months, hold two college degrees. I'm also a veteran and commercial pilot, cannot find a job. I'm on the slow road to poverty. So I hear this libertarian thought, and I say, you know, this is all fine and good. Let's just go to health care. How am I supposed to pay for it? What am I supposed to do? In probably another 18 months, if the economy doesn't turn around, I'm going to be on the street. So I've done everything that society says I'm supposed to do, but the fact is the social contract is breaking down. So you can paint the picture that only do-nothings are affected by the economy. But the fact is a lot of good middle-class people out here have been devastated by this economy. And when you say you don't want a social safety net, this is where your argument breaks down terribly.
Okay, thank you, Mark, for your comments. Daniel, your comment, your response.
Well, as I said, I wanted the minimum social safety net to catch people, not an expansive one.
I guess so, it all depends on where we define minimum. Enrique in Santa Fe, what are your thoughts on this? We got about a minute or to go here.
Well, I was, you know, it's hard to follow a call like Mark. I mean, you know, basically, you know, since we've had NAFTA, we've had a lot of increased immigration, and it's basically legal as long as they come over to work. But then, you know, people bring their families, and the immunization system in Mexico isn't very good, so we have higher TB, tuberculosis, rosette, all the childhood diseases. And, you know, these people need the Medicaid, and
got to summarize, Enrique.
Well, letting them have free medical care keeps the rest of us alive, actually, you know, because they're bringing in new diseases.
Yep, that's we're not doing it because we're nice people. We're doing it because this is the kind of world we want because it's safer for us. Dan, we got 10, 15 seconds here, and then we're history. Your thoughts on that?
On the comment about NAFTA, free, I mean, it isn't really, I'm almost about immigration, but NAFTA has enriched people on both sides. Free trade is a good thing. The last statistics I saw said there was just as many jobs created on both sides of the border because of NAFTA.
Okay, Daniel, do you want to stay for another 5 minutes, or
I'll stay for another 5 minutes.
Okay, stick around. We got a break here, and then right after this break, we'll come back to Daniel. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, straight to the heart of truth on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're talking with Daniel J. Craig, founder and editor of Conservatives Against Bush, conservativesagainstbush.org. Daniel, in Mexico, the number of people living in poverty has increased by the millions from 51% of the population in 1994 to 58.4% in 2001. In addition, the number of people working for less than the $3.40 a day minimum wage has increased to over 1 million by a million more than before the signing of NAFTA. Whereas NAFTA was sold as a way to bring prosperity to the people of Mexico, in reality, has only provided increased poverty and greater hardships. And I have a whole long list of statistics here I can offer to you, and I encourage you to just check it out on the internet. This isn't some left-wing rant. I mean, this is why the talks in one of the large reasons why the talks in Cancun just disintegrated. I forgot, Henry is on the line here. Henry in Texas. Henry, if you're still there, come on in. Say something quick, and then we're going to give Daniel the last couple of minutes for his final word.
The United States is suffering the worst bankruptcy rate it ever has, and half these bankruptcies are because of people with their medical bills.
Right. Over 400,000 people every 3 months declare bankruptcy, and 50% of them because they can't afford to pay their medical bills.
And the drugs are 10 times overcharged. I'm an ex-physician and a retired physician. And the people could go to Mexico and get the exact medication from the exact same assembly line to treat their glaucoma for $1.75 in Mexico when it was $27 in Long Beach.
Yeah, and the $1.75 represented its actual cost plus a small profit to
right.
make.
Right, they asked them
okay,
why
so Henry, we're running out of time here. Let me just take this back to Daniel and let him share his thoughts with us on this. I want to be fair to him as our guest. He's been kind enough to be on the program, and we've only got about a minute or so left. Daniel?
Yes. Well, I'd like to start. I know we've disagreed a lot on the fiscal thing. We talked about the medical thing, but we've agreed a lot on the foreign policy stuff, the civil liberties, and I'd really like people to go over to the site to see that because that's the bulk of what it is here.
Yeah, these are your main issues.
If the
fiscal irresponsibility, the Bush administration, and they're dragging us into a war and killing our young men and women, or getting them killed and wounded and maimed for no good reason.
And they're taking away our freedom.
And they're taking away our freedoms. These are very real issues, Daniel. I salute you for standing up among your fellow conservatives and speaking out like this. I think it's a marvelous thing. Henry, thank you for your call. I appreciate you sharing that. Trish, thanks for the information from our chat room, and also Bartlett for the information on NAFTA. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against this.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. President Bush has wrapped up a meeting in New York with German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. The president came out of it upbeat.
The first thing I told him, I said, look, we've had differences, and they're over. And we're going to work together. And I believe when Germany and America work together, we can accomplish a lot of positive things. We're both committed to freedom. We're both committed to peace.
Chancellor Schroeder says he agrees with the president's view. Germany opposed the U.S.-led war against Iraq. President Bush is in New York this week rallying support for more international assistance in Iraq. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's on Capitol Hill defending the Bush administration's request for $87 billion in additional spending for post-war Iraq. Pressing Rumsfeld, West Virginia Democrat Robert Byrd said the American people were never told that the U.S. intended to rebuild a nation and democratize the Middle East.
Well, they haven't been told that. They were told we're going in there because of weapons of mass destruction.
Once having gone in, the last thing we need to do is to turn that country over to another dictator like Saddam Hussein. The least we can do is suggesting that.
Byrd has been an outspoken opponent of the U.S.-led war against Iraq. The major candidates in the upcoming California recall election will meet tonight at Sacramento State University. Steve Fredericks has the story.
They're calling it a debate, and the five top candidates in the challenge to Governor Gray Davis will have a chance to respond to the others' answers, but it will not be a free-form exchange. It's the only meeting of the major candidates to include front-running Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger in the televised gathering at California State University, Sacramento, tonight. Cal State students are enthusiastic about what they consider to be an important event.
To me, it should be a big deal to everyone.
I'm concerned about what's their personal view on public education, and particularly higher education.
In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
The vote will be held on October 7th after a federal appeals court overturned a previous decision yesterday. More in a moment.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front.
Hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Quiet.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The Do Not Call list launched by the government to try to prevent unwanted telemarketing calls has been blocked by a district court in Oklahoma. The Direct Marketing Association reported the court ruled that the government had overstepped its authority when it set up the measure. Frustration continues to mount among residents whose power is still out following the onslaught of Hurricane Isabel last week. It could still be weeks, though, before electricity is fully restored. As far as progress goes, at least 62 transmission lines that were downed in North Carolina and Virginia have been repaired. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 114 points and the NASDAQ is off 38. More after this.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Get the chicken soup ready. Flu season's at hand, and health officials are concerned that the mild flu seasons of recent years may have promoted a feeling of complacency. The CDC says to avoid sickness, you might consider a nasal spray called Flu Mist, which is available at a wholesale cost of just over $45. The world's most popular touring band will rock New York City Central Park tonight. A free concert by the Dave Matthews Band is expected to draw 70,000 fans to the park's Great Lawn, with many already lining up to get a spot. Band leader Dave Matthews says the outdoor jam session benefits a good cause.
There really could be no greater honor for us to play here, and then the fact that it benefits the future of our country.
Sponsors of the concert are donating $2 million to public school music programs and city parks. Now you too can walk in Muhammad Ali's shoes. His shiny black leather tuxedo shoes are among dozens of autographed shoes from celebrities up for grabs on eBay Celebrity Shoes for Orphans charity auction. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Name some things that are different. Apples, oranges, men, women, football, soccer. How about tune-ups? If you think they're all the same, think again. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Why does your tune-up cost $500, but your neighbor's only $100? Apples and oranges. Although symptoms in two vehicles are similar, actual problems can vary dramatically. Here's what I mean. Your neighbor's V8 engine is running on 7 cylinders due to a bad plug wire. Tune-up cost, $100. Your V8 engine's also running on 7 cylinders, but it's due to a burned valve. Tune-up cost, 5 times $100. My advice, investigate the diagnosis before you relegate your wallet. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. On the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on radio stations all across the nation, broadcasting from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and streaming live across the world on the Internet with IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and my favorite of the Internet radio stations, RadioPower.org, with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.com or .org. And you can find all of that stuff at TomHartman.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com will get you there. Welcome back to the program. Got an email here. I'm not sure that this person wants to be outed as to who it was, but anyhow, Bush's, so I'm not going to name them. Bush's New York poll numbers plummet 23% of New York Republicans. Sorry, headline copy. Bush's New York poll numbers plummet. Pause. 23% of New York Republicans say they would vote against him. Watch for a Karl Rove terror diversion soon. Something to be concerned about. Our question for this hour, is George Bush going to damage America as badly as he did Texas?
You think, what kind of hyperbolic? What are you, George? He was a wonderful governor of Texas. He was a uniter, not a divider. The Democrats liked him.
Well, the Democrats who were in the pockets of the same corporations he was in the pockets of, yeah. You've heard of crony capitalism, I assume. But let's just take a look at what George Bush has been doing as president and what he did as governor. And say, and ask the question, is Bush going to damage America as badly as he did Texas? Our quote for the day from John F. Kennedy, a theme for this program. We are not afraid, Kennedy said, to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people. And that is not the United States of America. Let us hope and pray. Is George Bush going to wipe us out here? Is he destroying the air, the water, the ways that he did in Texas? Let's get into that in just a moment here. Oh, also, I wanted to just bring you, I mentioned that article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal about hospitals rationing health care. The Wall Street Journal has actually been talking about hospitals rationing health care all week on their front page. Of course, you don't know about this unless you actually read the Wall Street Journal, because the conservative talk show host, they're not going to touch this. Their dream coming true. And what are the consequences? I want to share that with you in just a moment. But first, we have Phil in Palm Harbor, Florida, has called in. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, by the way, if you'd like to call in and be on the program. Anytime this hour is fine, 1-800-825-5937, although I do promise a good rant coming. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I don't know. I didn't hear the show yesterday. I don't know if you brought up this issue, but Larry Klayman, the con man of all politics,
JudicialWatch.org.
He is running for. He wants to run for United States Senator from the state of Florida.
You're kidding?
No. He's announced his candidacy yesterday. It was in the Tampa Tribune, and it's been on the internet and whatever.
Is that interesting? And who's he running against?
This guy has not had a job in years. Let me tell you how.
Well,
he's
you know, Judicial Watch has been a minor success. He's responsible in large part for the Monica thing coming out, and thus the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He's responsible for outing Dick Cheney. He's the one who sued and got the documents showing that before 9/11, Dick Cheney and the oil companies and were sitting around splitting up the Iraqi oil fields. So you know he's done a few things.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is, he has gotten all of his money, okay, through donations, like the Rutherford Group.
Right.
And I used to live in California about a year ago. He used to get, about every 10 days, he would get on a right-wing talk show called George Putnam. It was on KIEV out of Glendale. Mm-hmm. And he would tell them, he'd throw red meat at all the listeners, including the host, by saying that he's after the Clintons.
Sure.
You know,
well, he was.
He filed 80-some frivolous lawsuits, none of which he didn't get a judgment in his favor on any of them. But
no,
what
but
he would
he
do
uncover
is
uncover Monica.
Right. What he would do is this. He would say, I need money. I need contributions. And only your listeners can help me, because I want to get Hillary and Bill, and the only way I can do it is if you send your checks to Judicial Watch.
Yeah,
and
but,
the host
but,
would
but
chime
Larry
in.
now has gone after Dick Cheney. I mean, he's got Dick Cheney in his sights. I'm assuming he's running as a Republican. Isn't he getting some blowback from that, Phil?
You know, I don't know about that. All I know is it sure isn't going to change anything, and none of his other lawsuits did either. But they were tremendous, how can I put it? Fundraising,
yeah.
and it made him rich. And what he would do in California is he would say, you know, you got a lot of liberals, and they need to be investigated here. And he'd say, George, I want to open a California office. Oh, yeah. But, George, mm-hmm. I need the money. We need money. Where do we spend the money?
Okay, Phil, I got it. What do you think, you know, who is he running against? Is he running against an incumbent, or is this an open seat?
The incumbent is running for president. Okay, and that, what's his name?
Phil Graham. Bob Graham.
Okay.
Oh, he's running for Bob Graham's seat.
That's
interesting. Is Bob Graham also running for the United States Senate?
He has not disclosed whether he's going to give that up or not.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, interesting thing. Thanks for sharing that with us, Phil.
This guy is a con man, and he is the king of frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, well, time will tell how it works out. Phil, I appreciate your call.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that with us. And the heads up, which is probably of more interest to those of you in Florida who are listening than around the rest of the country. But who knows? I mean, interesting stuff. The Wall Street Journal yesterday, front page. At one hospital, a stark solution for allocating care. Subhead, Galveston facility cuts drugs, treatments for uninsured. Subhead, we are rationing, CEO says. Article by Bernard Wysock Jr. This part of the series that the Wall Street Journal has been doing this week on how health care is being rationed in America. Let me just read you a couple of short quotes here. They're talking about a hospital called UTMB, which is the University of Texas Medical Branch. It is the, I'll let the article speak for itself. Actually, maybe I should tell you. UTMB is the only hospital that serves Galveston, Texas. Okay. And so here we go. Its rules require that patients undergo financial screening before they can be admitted, and that virtually everybody pay a fee before seeing a doctor. For patients who are poor or uninsured, the rules restrict or proscribe, that's as in proscribe, which means eliminate or limit, not prescribe, give. For patients who are poor or uninsured, the rules restrict or proscribe the use of certain drugs and treatments. Some procedures are barred outright. This is for poor people, such as hyperbaric oxygen treatment, which are widely used in other hospitals to help wounds heal. The system empowers certain decision makers, such as Dr. Richardson, to make exceptions to the rules, but usually within a specific budget. Then they go to the CEO of the hospital. We are rationing, says John Stobo, UTMB's 62-year-old president and chief executive. The hospital's rationing system, called dubbed DAMP, D-A-M-P, for Demand and Access Management Program, has helped its bottom line. Conservatives love this stuff. It's probably why it's on the front page of the conservative Wall Street Journal. Conservatives love this stuff. Corporation makes money, people die. They love it. 5 years ago, UTMB was headed for an $80 million budget deficit. Last year, it posted a modest budget surplus. Isn't that great? But then, you know, actually, I have to give the Wall Street Journal its due. This column, this series of columns that has been running this week about the rationing of health care, points out the terrible human cost. They're probably getting people writing letters to the editor saying, you know, why do you have this liberal stuff on here? Because the next sentence, after it says last year posted a modest budget deficit, it then says, but the rules have hit its hometown hard. Keep in mind, this is the only hospital in Galveston, city of 55,000 people, and they say this is a city of 55,000 that has fallen on hard times, or tough times. Under the rationing rules, UTMB has cut back on admissions of uninsured patients who are then forced to defer or forego treatment. In other words, people are not getting care. This is the brave new world that the cons want us to have. No, I am not making this up. It really and truly is. So, and this is one dimension of it, and it's interesting, this hospital is in Texas. When George Bush was governor, Texas rose to become number one in a whole series of rankings. They were not number one in any of these rankings before he became governor of Texas. And when he and during the time that George Bush was governor of Texas, Texas became number one in the emissions of ozone causing air pollution chemicals, number one in the nation in toxic chemicals released into the air, number one in the use of deep well injectors as a method of waste disposal. This is where they inject poisons into the ground to get rid of them. Number one in counties listed in the top 20 of emitting cancer-causing chemicals. Number one in the total number of hazardous waste incinerators. Number one in environmental justice Title VI complaints. That is, you know, people suing about these things. Number one in production of cancer-causing benzene and vinyl chloride. And number one, the number one largest sludge dump in the entire United States. After research showed that 1,000 unregulated grandfathered industrial plants accounted for a huge proportion of Texas's air pollution, George Bush opposed legislation that would have forced those companies to clean up and instead cut a backroom voluntary program. This voluntary program that he cut with these polluting companies in Texas is the model for the Clear Skies Initiative. The people in the meetings, by the way, who put together this voluntary program, those people, it was later learned, contributed $670,000 to George Bush's gubernatorial campaign. This is mind-boggling. This is absolutely mind-boggling. Less than one-half of 1% of emissions from these plants has been reduced. This is George Bush's Texas. Is it going to become George Bush's America? Stay tuned. We'll check it out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
And welcome back.
Stand by me.
Standing by you. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. George W. Bush appointed to the Texas regulatory agencies those who oversee emissions from chemical companies and power plants and whatnot, those who oversee and regulate the industries that are spitting out the poisons that are causing cancer among the people of Texas. He appointed to those regulatory agencies, guess who? To their boards, board members of the, to the regulatory agencies, he appointed board members from the very corporations that were producing the pollution. Should this surprise you? He's doing the same thing with the federal government right now. He can, you know, George Bush's old comment from a couple of years ago, you can fool some of the people all the time, and those are the ones you have to concentrate on, seems to be coming true. The question in my mind is, can he fool the entire world? And by the way, I don't want to make this just an entire hour ranting about George Bush. This could have been anybody. This could have been any guy who came along and said, I'm going to game the system. I'm going to take all this corporate money, stick it in my pocket, stick it in my bank account, use it to get power, and then use that power to help the money. This, my friends, is the destruction of democracy in the United States of America. And how is the world taking this? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our number. Chuck in California is on the line. Chuck, what are your thoughts?
Hey, Tom. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Oh, I'm pleased
You're
to.
You're truly up, one of the top progressive luminaries in this country, and I just really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Lou Dobbs last night on CNN, I was just amazed. First, they ran a report about a poll that had been taken about American support for the United Nations, which I guess claimed that 82% of Americans supported the UN or had support for the UN was the way it was described. Dobbs immediately lashed into how this poll was absolutely without merit. And in fact, there was a CNN Gallup poll that showed that only 28% of the Americans thought that in his question, the way he framed it was that the United Nations was relevant. So, you know, they're trying to make some sort of comparison between these polls, which obviously the questions were formed completely differently. And the other thing that I thought was, isn't it kind of curious that they use the question relevant, and they particularly cited that this started right at the run-up to the Gulf War. And the correlation with that and the 70% of the Americans that think Saddam was linked to the World Trade Center issue was just amazing to me because, you know, why would the Americans think that the UN was irrelevant at the lead-up to war? I mean, that was the mantra that was just being beaten into everyone's head. And I think that, I mean, even if you asked me, someone who supports the UN, do you think the UN is becoming irrelevant, I would probably answer that question in the affirmative because of the way that the United Nations or the United States has dealt with the UN. We've basically rendered them irrelevant. So it was just a fascinating piece of bait and switch that they pulled off. And what's happening is they're swishing. CNN is now swishing like the Fox Network. And I think what's happening to that station is, they're going to pander to the lowest common denominator, and they're going after the ratings. And to your point about, corporate interests and making sure they can sell their advertising time, it just seems like they're shifting to the lowest common denominator, and they're going to reinforce more of what we got. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, well, Lou Dobbs is a notorious right winger, and they moved Crossfire, which is the only place on television, period, where you will see a rational debate between a real liberal and a real conservative.
Right.
They moved that from basically Lou Dobbs' time slot down to 4:30 in the afternoon. I think in reaction to this, right-wing paranoia in America that came along with the war, the Bush administration pulled it off for a little while. The question in my mind is it going to backfire on them? I think so. Thanks for your call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Hundreds of steel workers rallied in the nation's capital yesterday in support of tariffs on foreign steel. The duties of up to 30% were enacted by the Bush administration in early 2002 under pressure from both the U.S. steel industry and from the United Steelworkers of America. The White House is considering removing the tariffs later this year.
Our companies are closing and suffering because we're not getting any help from the federal government, and it's wrong.
Baron Chase is from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a town that's been rocked by the collapse of its steel industry under foreign competition. Although he's not a steel worker himself, many of his friends are, and he says he traveled to Washington to support them.
They lost their health care benefits, they lost their life insurance, and they're going to be losing some of their pensions. And I feel very sorry for them. I grew up with these guys, and I'm saddened by what's going on.
While union officials say the tariffs are working, the World Trade Organization ruled in July they're illegal under international trade rules. That decision is under appeal in Geneva, and a new ruling is expected in November.
For years, Harley-Davidson has worked hard to build an all-American brand image. That may be changing. Union workers at Harley's headquarters factory in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, say they've been given a 60-day ultimatum by the company. Find ways to cut the costs of transmission production or see the work outsourced. If it happens, it could mean the loss of hundreds of jobs. And it's day 7 of a massive strike of hospital workers in Sri Lanka, and there's no signs of a resolution. Some 80,000 workers walked off the job over complaints about disparities in pay between workers of similar skills. The military's been called in to staff the country's hospitals, and soldiers now bathe and feed most patients. The Sri Lankan government's already hired 1,000 replacement workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. The American Family Voices Group, I think it's AmericanFamilyVoices.org, in fact, I'm quite sure it is, has a new radio and television advertisement. I believe it's a TV ad. I've got the audio for it here, and I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm not sure which it is. But it's fascinating. And it reflects, and they're actually this is running on stations around the country, and it reflects a concern that is growing in America, an unease that we see historically with George Bush. I mean, back to his days in Texas, basically getting into bed with big corporations and pursuing policies that benefit them at the expense of the people. Here's the ad. It starts out with a group of people who are just laughing hysterically and then goes from there.
It's become a national joke, but it's not funny. Billions of tax dollars are going directly to Halliburton through sweetheart no-bid government contracts. Meanwhile, our soldiers are being asked to sacrifice. And here at home, budgets for education, health care, even veterans' benefits are being slashed. Where do you want your tax dollars spent? Let's take care of America's troops and families instead of taking care of Halliburton.
Yeah, wham. And interesting, very interesting. And the response, of course, to this kind of thing from the right was the response that we have seen in other governments in the past that have combined corporate and state interests. Remember the old song? Many of you are probably too young to remember. I am too young to remember in its first incarnation the song Never Say Never Again. Never say never again again. I'll never fall in love again. It's a beautiful, funny old, you know, it's from the 30s, as I recall. And here's a version that was played, broadcast into Great Britain in the 1940s during the bombing of England by Germany.
We'll never say never again again, 'cause here we are at war again. Up to our necks in war again with you.
Uh-huh.
We'll never say never fight wars again, 'cause here we are at war again. It's just the thing that Churchill made us do.
Oh, Churchill made us do it, yes indeed.
We thought to war we'd say goodbye, 'cause war ain't fun and that's no lie. We like to live and we hate to die, but it's all up now and that too is no lie. We'll never say never again again, 'cause here we are at war again. Up to our necks in war again, and we can't pull through.
Yeah, this is a tough one, and it's the whole thing is, if you're in trouble, create a war. If you want to pull the people together, build a huge army, create a war. Go on, take on somebody else. Go after another country's resources. Go after another country's people. Lebensraum was the German phrase, living room. We need more room to live. We need more space for our people. Therefore, they took Austria for more Lebensraum, and then the Sudetenland, then, you know, the Czechoslovakia, and on it went. All about more room for the German people. Well, now we need more oil. We're running out of oil. We're importing more than half of our oil. And where is 10% of the planet's oil? In Iraq. Surprise, surprise. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much to what's-his-name and his Nazi orchestra. So, George W. Bush and his thoughts on these kinds of things, corporations, wars, the board members I think I mentioned that board members of Toxic Texas Polluters. Sewage dumping. George W. permitted a private company to dump New York City sewage in the border town of Sierra Blanco, became the nation's largest sewer sludge dump, sewage sludge dump. Then Merco Joint Venture hired Bush's former legislative director to lobby Bush for favors, and sure enough, in 1997, they got their permit. George Bush's theory on all this is pretty straightforward. Here is him. Here's George expressing it.
One way to make sure that the job supply is steady and growing in the long term is to have a realistic energy policy coupled with realistic environmental policy.
Now, when he says the nation's job supply, you have to understand he's talking about CEO jobs, boards of directors jobs. Because if you want to create jobs in America, you want to create an explosion of jobs in America. Keep in mind, small businesses create jobs better and faster than big businesses. You want to create an explosion of jobs in America, create some tax incentives or even some grant programs if you really want to make it happen rapidly for the development of energy sources that don't rely on oil. Now, of course, this administration is not going to do that. Ain't going to happen. But you see this Superfund reform. The Bush administration in Texas, when George was governor, reduced liability for offenders under the Superfund. The industry itself, the toxic industry, developed the bill. No environmental groups or public members were allowed to participate. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like Cheney's Energy Group? This was George Bush in Texas. Who wrote the bill? Here are the people who wrote the Superfund reform bill in the state of Texas under the George W. Bush's governor administration in a closed room where the public, we the people, the citizens of Texas were not allowed to enter the room. Here are the companies who were present. Texas Chemical Council, Texas Association of Business and Chambers of Commerce, National Federation of Independent Businesses, Independent Bankers Association of Texas, representatives of agribusiness and the insurance lobby, Dow Chemical, Temple Inland, DuPont, and Union Carbide. Yes, indeed, folks, George Bush does know how to create jobs among those making more than $10 million a year. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And that's not just George Bush, by the way. This is the conservative agenda. This is the thing that's so important for you to realize. The conservative agenda is about the takeover of democracy in America by a small elite, a corrupt elite of corporations and super wealthy people. And they're succeeding. And it's time for us to stand up and say no. Kalamazoo Jim, trucker on the line here. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I'm in Richmond, Virginia right now. You're a reference to that Wall Street Journal story about the hospitals. That reminded me. I know I had a note here back here, September 1, 2003, a reversal of the Emergency Room Treatment Act of 1986. There was a 1986 law that upgraded emergency room standards and prohibited dumping or diverting poor or uninsured patients. And the Republicans in Congress reversed that law, but they, at the time, this is as of September 1st this year, they claimed that in no way will their reversal of this law result in reduced or lowered health care for poor people.
Then why would they reduce the law, or reverse the law?
Well, you have to ask them. They'll come up with some tap dance on that.
Yeah, I would think. It's going to take quite a tap dance. That's fascinating, Jim. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Here I am. I'm trying to keep notes on something. So I'm an analog guy in the digital world, but I can kind of keep notes on these things. And when you said that, I remembered that within the last month, there was this thing out of Congress about reversing the Emergency Room Treatment Act.
Yeah.
I have a question about something totally unrelated to that I heard on, I listen to BBC, Sirius Radio, it's got World Radio Network and a whole bunch of stuff, and when NPR fails, there's so many alternatives to go to, and I heard this story about U.S. soldiers were having a clandestine drinking party at the Baghdad Zoo the other day.
Right, one of them killed a tiger.
Yeah, and they shot this, after teasing this prize Bengal tiger with some raw steak, things got out of hand, and the U.S. soldiers ended up shooting this tiger. Where'd you hear that?
I read it in the newspaper. No, wait a minute. I read it on commondreams.org.
There you go.
Now that I think about it.
See, I don't have the luxury of sitting around reading a whole lot, but with the satellite radio, it's just
all kinds of things to listen to.
As I recall, there was no, I don't recall any mention of that in mainstream media here in the United States.
It's symbolic, let's put it that way.
Yeah, we don't want to be beating up on our troops right now. They're getting the short end of the stick here.
It's symbolic of the regard that of what's going on there, as far as the Iraqi people go. I mean, this whole thing is it's so convoluted that we really can't tell what anything means anymore. I think that's a shame about the. This is what happens when you get a bunch of soldiers in a place that they shouldn't be in the first place, I guess.
I
said before, we were told that Iraqis wanted to kill American soldiers, and I thought all along the only way the Iraqis would ever be able to kill American soldiers is if we sent American soldiers to Iraq to get killed.
Yeah.
And, they know it, we know it. I don't know what's going on. I expect to see mutiny over there amongst our soldiers. That's what brought them back to Vietnam eventually.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't think mutiny is going to happen because,
low-level disobedience, you know what I mean? Once these people are going to realize, we got to do something here. Whether it's being a tiger being shot to death just because they don't seem to have any, they're being sequestered. They're being taken out of harm's way as best they can.
But the bottom line is these GIs were not trained to be nation builders and it's funny on one of the talk shows last night I heard somebody talking about I just learned from Bush's speech or something like that that our soldiers are building hospitals and building schools and I'm like wait a minute our soldiers are I don't think so I think Halliburton is it's like where is this stuff coming from? Kalamazoo Jim, you vanished.
I gotta go.
Okay, all right. Keep that 18-wheeler on the road.
I got a delivery to make, but I did jump off here. I use real phones when I call in.
I see.
I got a funny little toy phone, but I don't like using it. I like to use a real phone when I call you.
Yeah, always a good plan. Kalamazoo Jim on the road in Virginia. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. It's always nice to hear from you and from it's nice to hear from everybody. A couple of days ago, somebody called in and I jumped down this guy's throat. I said, "You're blaming the victim," and whoever that was, I don't remember now. And I just wanted to apologize for that. Occasionally, when I hear people on our side, as it were, on the side of truth, justice, and the American way. Echoing the talking points of the Reich Wing, it makes me crazy. And but by and large, you can call in and I'll be reasonable. Ozone levels in George Bush's Texas rose during his time as governor in 11 of 13 metropolitan areas. And he took the magnanimous act, rather substantial one actually, of ending surprise inspections of plants and factories. So how did he get into all this stuff? How did George W. get into this? Well, he started in the oil business with Arbusto. In 1979, it was a little company that some friends and family invested in, changed its name to Bush Exploration, but it never found any oil. And 5 years later, in 1984, he was $3.1 million in debt, and all of his investors were, in trouble. And so this company called Spectrum 7 came along and bought him out in 84 and made him CEO. His daddy was 84. Was he vice president then? Yeah. So they thought that was a good idea. But by 1986, 2 years later, George W. had run that company into bankruptcy. It was in need of a bailout. And so in 1986, it wasn't in full bankruptcy, but it was in the midst of a severe financial crisis. And so in 86, Harkin Oil and Gas came along. Now, George W. had been on the board of Harkin because he got on that board when Harkin purchased, Spectrum 7. Harkin came along and bailed him out by buying out Spectrum 7. And so as a member of the board of directors of Spectrum 7, of now it's called Harkin Oil and Gas, excuse me, George W. helped them create a Cayman Island tax dodge. You'll recall, in the run-up to the war, Democrats and Republicans together proposed legislation that said that any company that reincorporates in the Cayman Islands or in Bermuda in order to avoid paying United States taxes on the profits it makes in Iraq can't have a contract in Iraq. In other words, if Halliburton wants to do business in Iraq, they can't hide the profits from that and avoid paying taxes on them by saying that it's one of their offshore subsidiaries. You may remember that. This law was proposed. It was debated. A lot of people in Congress were in favor of it. George Bush was not, and it was defeated. Well, it might be because he helped create a Cayman Island tax dodge for his own company, Harkin Oil and Gas, back in 1986. He served on the audit committee, and somehow in 1990, in 89 actually, in the year before, somehow they managed to create a $10 million phony profit. They were using the same kind of accounting tricks that Enron used. And in August, well, here, let me just give you the sequence. In June of 1990, George Bush, who had served on the audit committee and so was familiar with how Harkin was doing this, and the audit committee, of course, knew what kind of report was going to come out in the quarterly report in August. In June, he sold $840,000 worth of stock, $3 million loss. The stock went in the toilet, but George Bush had bailed out just in time. Now, if this was Martha Stewart, if George Bush was a woman, if he was not the son of the vice president, you may suspect that he would be investigated, but in fact, no, he was not. In fact, they got a letter from the SEC saying specifically that he was not exonerated. No investigation. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You love your car. You wash and wax your car. You talk to your car until it has trouble starting. Then you yell at your car, you curse your car, you kick your car in the tires. What you need is Die Hard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. Die Hard Express is more than a battery service. We give your car's electrical system a complete checkup. We look for common problems, and if you need a new battery, we install it Die Hard, America's most preferred battery.
Die Hard Express, Sears, good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman over in our chat room, which you can find by going to TomHartman.com on the Internet. One of our members, Bob Amick, 1954, says George W. Bush couldn't run a cockroach into a sink full of dirty dishes. And it seems to be that he's running the United States the same way he ran his corporations, every single one of them, into virtual bankruptcy. Anyhow, we got a couple of quick callers here. We've only got 3 minutes left at the end of the program. Natasha in Santa Fe and Paul in Manhattan. Natasha, you're first. Oh, she's
okay.
Gone.
Hi, Tom. Last week you mentioned, and I came in late on it, Rumsfeld's wealthy veterans, which has got to be the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. Is that an actually passed thing, or is that just something he's proposing to rip off our troops one more time?
I'm sorry, you must be on a cell phone because you said Rumsfeld's something-something, and I didn't get the something-something.
The wealthy veterans thing.
Oh, the wealthy veteran thing.
Is that actually passed, or is he just proposing that?
You know, I don't know. It's one of the things that I'm trying to track down. I'm trying to nail that down because we talked about that on the air. I was doing it based on one news story that I had, which is always a dangerous thing. I will let you know tomorrow on the air, okay?
Okay,
I'll either lay out the details or I will apologize for having the wrong information. It occasionally happens here. Very rare, but occasionally happens. And Paul in Manhattan is gone, right, Char? Yeah. Okay, thanks. This is the Tom Hartman Program. By the way, I just want to say this and then wrap up with this George W. stuff. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson in Atlanta, Georgia, and engineered by the wonderful Char Jones and the wonderful Steph Stryker in the city of Detroit, Michigan, where IE America is headquartered. Back to George W. and how his final gift. Now, I'd like you to remember, you have probably seen in the newspapers over the last couple of days these stories about how John Ashcroft has told federal prosecutors that they can no longer plea bargain. They can't go easy on criminals. No more. Ain't gonna happen no more. They gotta be tough. You gotta do it all the way. You nail them to the wall. If they are human beings, nail them to the wall. But George W. Bush, in March 2001, just 2 months after he took office, when the National Petroleum Refiners Association had a discussion with him, he legalized what until now were violations of the Clean Air Act, in some cases creating a permanent exemption from rules that were supposed to have kicked in 3 decades ago, according to an article from Mother Jones magazine. This is incredible. We have to change things, and we can and we will in 2004. Truth in Broadcasting, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Join us again tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks for listening today, folks.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. President Bush is meeting with world leaders trying to gain troops and funds for Iraq. German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder and the president met this morning, agreeing to put differences over Iraq behind them. Laura Iyama has more.
President Bush says the meeting with Schroeder went well.
The first thing I told him, I said, look, we've had differences and they're over. And we're going to work together.
Speaking through a translator, German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder agrees, saying Germany is prepared to help out in Iraq.
We will assist in providing training for security staff, be it police functions or be it some form of military function.
Schroeder did not indicate Germany will be sending troops, nor did he back away from supporting the French demand that power be handed over more quickly to Iraqis. Laura Iyama, Washington.
Texas Republican Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison is angered by Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy's charge that the war in Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas.
I have great respect for Senator Kennedy and every senator that represents his or her state in this body. But I